Good morning, everybody. Good to hear the chatter. It's always good. Above all, love each other deeply. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. There are times and circumstances where the need for this deep love is felt much more strongly. Times of pain and tragedy and loss. And we're in one of those times right now as a church family. God knows what he's doing when we get to certain passages. We're going through 1 Peter, and here we are this week. Above all, love each other deeply. And a week ago today, Matt and Tiffany lost their son, Alex. If you weren't aware of what was going on, he developed this rare condition, which took his life suddenly and very unexpectedly. And our church family is grieving with them of this loss. And we want to help. And this suffering just has heightened our awareness of how important it is to love each other deeply. The message today is from 1 Peter. It's just really, as I've been studying, this is just an encouragement to you as I've seen you live out what this passage teaches this week. Just the deep love you have expressed in Matt and Tiffany and Aubrey in some really, really heart-wrenching pain. And I've just seen you love deeply this week, and I just want to thank you, and I know they want to thank you. Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, Peter starts out, we talked about the first several verses a few weeks back, and Peter starts by talking about this relationship between suffering and sin, and suffering has a way of refocusing us away from sinful things that can trap us and catch us and pull us down, and suffering can also make us stronger in our resistance to those sinful things. We talked about that before. When we're walking through deep suffering, certain things just kind of lose their appeal to us. We stop struggling with certain things because we're going through something big. And that struggle that we had before isn't drawing us like it has in the past. And that's not always true, of course. We can allow our suffering to push us away from God towards self-gratifying, self-sabotaging desires. But when we suffer well and we allow God to walk with us through it, we're not interested in those other things. Suffering makes us stronger, makes us less likely to pursue evil human desires, as Peter describes, the things that we chased after before. So we're looking at verses 8 through 11 today, but I had to compare the first seven verses with the next few because they relate. And as I compared the two sections here, I realized that the first part of 1 Peter 4 urges us to turn away from self-centered responses to suffering and to pain, and instead allow God's love to flow through us, and not just to us, but through us, allowing us to heal in our own hearts and then helping others at the same time. So there's kind of they go together. So I just want you to see, remember what we talked about before. It was like 4 weeks ago, but verse 1, he said, he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Spent enough time in that. It's time to move on. And Peter says in verse 8, this is what we're moving on to. Above all, love each other deeply. So in our suffering, rather than pursuing destructive forms of self-love, we're called to love others out of the love God has for us. That's kind of the general idea of these two sections together. My natural response to pain is to protect, hide, or distract. I don't want to deal with pain. And if our pain is relational, we protect by pulling away from relationships. We don't want to go through that again. If our pain is other things, sometimes it's impossible to change, it's impossible to fix, so we mask the pain with alcohol or other numbing agents, whatever it is that we choose. We distract ourselves with unhealthy entertainment, and this is these are things that you've probably found yourself doing in the past, just different things, especially sometimes in our culture, in our world, and maybe just in humanity in general. We distract ourselves with sometimes ungodly sexual stimulation. That's just this huge thing. It's a distraction. So we protect, we hide, or we distract. And it's been this way for a long, long time. And if you keep reading those first few verses, Peter further warns us that those who live for themselves and ignore God's law, they're going to stand before God. This is serious for that rebellion against him. Judgment day is real. It's serious. Let's not ignore that. But then Peter moves on. He says, let me give you something better. Let me give you a better option. And that's where we are today. And that's what I've seen. That's what I've seen in this church family today. So let's read verses 8 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 4. I have been really encouraged to see this passage lived out in you guys this week. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If you look at the front of your program, you'll see our mission. This is what we're about, leading people to Jesus and fully following him together. And it's two parts, right? Leading people to Jesus, fully following him together. So when you look at these few verses I just read, which side of that do you think he's talking about? The first part or second part? You could probably see both, right? You could probably see some both, but really when a lot of times when the Bible says each other or one another, it's talking about us. It's talking about not people out there, but people in here. So when he says love each other deeply, he's talking about us. So this is about fully following him together. This is Peter's trying to help us fully follow Jesus together. And this he says above all, love each other deeply. Love's not a new concept to us, right? I mean, we do need to talk about it a lot because Jesus made a big deal of it, but it's not new, okay? Love each other, I got it, right? But we need to notice some things in the passage and how he words it. First, he says, above all. Pretty important, I would guess. There are a couple places in the Bible where different authors say above all. This is really up there. Above all, love each other deeply. And you probably remember Jesus agrees with that, right? The above all, when they asked him what's the most important command in the whole law, he said, here it is, love God, love people. That's it. Everything hangs on that. So Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. And that word deeply is pretty important too. I get to look at the original languages sometimes and it gives you different nuances of the words. And the word deeply in the Greek is meant something that's being stretched, something that's straining. It's a word that's used to describe the taut muscles of an athlete that's trying to win a race. Like you see, if you catch that in a picture, you just see every muscle just striving. That's this word. This kind of love costs something. There's sacrifice involved in this kind of love. This is not easy. This isn't the eighth grade girl who has a crush on the ninth grade boy and says, oh, I love him so much. I love him deeply. No. This is the wife who caught her husband cheating on her. And she agreed to, we're going to work through this. With a counselor, we're going to work through this. For her not to walk out on her husband, that's deep love. And I have a friend who's doing that right now. Not connected with Cornerstone. But he is still choosing to love and serve his wife through that pain. He is not giving up. It's not ignoring what happened, but it's choosing to work through that pain to get to the other side and still see healing in that relationship, if it's possible at all, as far as it depends on him. That's deep love. That's the stretching. That's the straining. That costs a lot. And Peter says, when you're hurting, when you're suffering, because this whole thing is how to live right in suffering. Peter says, when you're hurting, when you're suffering for whatever reason, don't look for ways to numb the pain or hide from it. Instead, give yourself in love to others. How can we do that? When you're struggling, when you're suffering, when I am hurting, I feel empty, right? I don't feel like I have something to give. Like, what do you mean when I'm at my lowest and I'm supposed to pour myself? I don't have anything to pour out. So what are we supposed to do? Where am I going to get that kind of strength to love like that? I think a lot of you know where we find the strength for that, right? John said it in 1 John chapter 4, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. My ability to love the people around me, it doesn't come from deep within my soul. It's not something I just draw up my own strength and then I can finally do it if I just talk myself into it. My ability to love comes from God. We love because he first loved me. We get that from God. We give it to others. This is where our strength comes from. And this is radically different from the way the world functions. The way the world practices love. The world's way, I'd call it a love exchange. You love me and I love you. And you love me and I love you. As long as we keep this thing going, we're all right for a while. That has a limit. That can't sustain. A love exchange doesn't work. It breaks down and it falls apart and it runs out. Works for a while, but not nearly as well as God's way. Instead of love exchange, what we get to practice is a love transfer. It's a love transfer. I have this unlimited source of love from God. This is reality. This is what I have. This is what we sing about. We have this unlimited source of love from God. We know about it from Christ, from the cross, from what he poured out to us and how he described. This is why I did that. This unlimited source of love from God enables me to love anyone. And I think I've used this illustration before, but some of you haven't seen it. The love exchange is, okay, this is me, this is you, and I'm going to love you. Here you go. I give you some love. And because I gave you some love, you give me some back. And it's good. And we can go back and forth. I give you some love. But what happens when they don't give me any back? You ever feel that way? That's love exchange. A lot of marriages end up that way. A lot of marriages end that way. This isn't how we function. We hold the cup out here, and it never stops flowing. And then we can do the exchange. We can pour it back and forth. But our cup is always held out to the fountain that never stops flowing. This is how we can love people who are not loving us back. That changes things. That changes our ability to love. I don't need somebody to love me to love them back. I don't. I don't need them to like me to love them back. Because my richest source of love comes straight from God. So I can love people who annoy me. Got anybody like that? I can love people who are offensive, rude, pushy. I can love people who don't keep their word, people who let me down. I can love people who fail me, betray me, accuse me, abandon me. I can love the person who insults me, who takes advantage of me, spreads gossip about me. I can love anybody God puts in my path. How can I love like that? Because the source of my love is not the person I'm loving, it's God himself. That's huge. That is a huge concept of our faith. This is where we get it from. We don't have to do the love exchange back and forth and hope there's enough. The source of my love is not the person I'm loving, it's God himself. Can you see how this kind of love covers over a multitude of sins? You see how that works? That's 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean you don't talk about the serious hurts that happen. Sometimes it's important we do have to talk about it, about those things. But when we do, love hasn't left the room. It's still there. And as I was studying and processing, thinking through this, when you have a love like this, when you can hold your cup out like this and always get it filled up, when God is faithful, he never stops loving us, he never stops doing that, never fails us, never gets it wrong, he always gets it right, always meets our need, always comes alongside, maybe not the way we want and the way we think, but he is faithful, he is good. When we have that kind of a love, you actually don't feel the need to confront someone every time they sin against you. And I mean, we're all on the same page here. We're all together here. I have allowed myself to get into that mode of hyper-correction where every time one of my kids did something wrong, like I feel this moral obligation as a parent. Well, I better correct that. I mean, I'm their parent. Like I gotta fix this. This is wrong. And I got to point that out. I got to make sure they know that's wrong. And so my thinking is if I see something's not quite right, I better say something. I've been in that mode. I fall into that mindset with my kids. I fall into that mindset with my wife. And let me tell you something, that kind of mindset does not lead to a more intimate marriage. It doesn't. I've experienced that multiple times. Do you have any idea how discouraging and demoralizing it is when you correct every imperfection you see in someone? Have you been there? Have you been on the receiving end of that? It's so hard. Well, I'll give you one specific way I've messed this up, just so you can see how it fleshes it out. I can be the imperfect one. You guys can be the perfect ones and just make sure you don't mess this up. I go to kiss my kids goodnight. So I march up the stairs and the first thing I see is a messy room. Okay, this has happened before. Believe it or not, it has happened. So now rather than kissing them goodnight, I'm confronting them about their messy room. Should that conversation be my first priority when I'm saying goodnight to my kids? A couple guys are saying, no, I don't think so. I see some shaking heads. Is there a place for talking about messy rooms? Yes, absolutely. So I need to comfort my wife that, no, we're not saying kids, go ahead, whatever, free for all. But should that be my first priority? Should that be the thing they hear the loudest from me in that moment? Or should maybe I kiss them goodnight and love them, even though they're not perfect? Remembering I'm not either. Maybe give some more thought to how I want to handle the messy room thing. Sometimes just words come out, boom, they're out. And like, that's what I see, that's what I talk about. Like, zip it. Like, I gotta back up. And I'm working on this. I haven't arrived necessarily at, but that's one way that I sometimes go into this hypercorrection mode. I don't have to immediately confront every sin, every fault, every weakness that I see. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love is willing to overlook things. A sign of spiritual maturity is the ability to overlook sins committed against you. That is a sign of spiritual maturity. Some of you, you got the but, wait, what, wait. There are buts, of course. Like, we shouldn't overlook everything. There are definitely times we got to talk. Like, if there's a continual pattern, this is a repetitive thing, it may be the loving thing to do to talk to them about it. That there may be a very good reason to do that. Or if you have tried to overlook something and just say, okay, I'm not going to worry about this, and a couple days later you're still bothered, you're still hurting, you're still kind of stewing about it, you probably need to talk to them about it. Ephesians tells us, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So we have to be careful that our hearts are okay. So I can either choose to let this go, or I can talk to them about it, but I don't have the option of stewing about it for days and letting my anger just fester. That's damaging to us, them, everything. Ephesians says this gives the devil a foothold. Like, that is not what we want. But there are definitely times when we need to overlook things. another angle to think about when you think about this idea. Love covers over a multitude of sins. We're talking about loving deeply. We're not just talking about when somebody sins against me. We're talking about all the time. We're talking about in the body of Christ. That, like, there's maybe 50 people here today. And so like, how does this work here in this room? We're not just talking about when somebody offends you. We're talking about somebody annoys you. Or when their personality just doesn't quite match yours. And you're like, I just kind of don't. Does that ever happen when you get 50 people together? Or 100 people together? Or 1,000 people together? Or 2 people together? Yeah, it's going to happen. So this loving deeply it's broader than just how to handle when someone sins against us. This is, God wants love to cover those little things that annoy us about a person, their quirks, their personality rubs. That's included here. Love deeply. That person you're thinking about right now. Am I mature enough to love someone even if they annoy me? We can love each other deeply because the love that I offer, it initially came from God. And guess what? He loves like this. If God was like me, would I annoy him? I bet I would. I'm glad he's not. The love that we offer came from God, and that kind of love allows us to overlook things. Think about how relationships in the family and relationships in the church could go so much better with this kind of a perspective. When my primary source of love is God, the love transfer, and the secondary source is that love exchange. The exchange happens. It needs to happen, and it's good when it happens. But the primary source is God. When I'm functioning that way, I can love better, a lot better. So just let me ask you this question. It's at the bottom of your notes. How are you doing these days at overlooking the faults of others and overlooking their sins against you? We can all grow in it. As Jesus said, everything hangs on love. And as you look at the rest of these next couple of verses, I think it's safe to say the next two things Peter emphasizes are directly related to loving each other deeply. This is it. Look at verse 9. Show hospitality to each other joyfully. And verse 10, use your gifts to serve each other selflessly. Those are the next two things he talks about. These are practical ways we can love deeply. So look at hospitality first. Show hospitality to each other joyfully. Verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And we talked for a while about hospitality. January, February, did a whole series about that. And you might remember if you were here, hospitality in those days was way different from how it is now. A lot different. The needs were different. Like when travelers were going from one place to another, they didn't have hotels to sleep in. So they'd get to a town and they'd either sleep in the street or a stranger would invite them in. That's how it worked. Those are their two options. Someone who's willing to practice hospitality would open their door and let them come in. And it's different now, right? The closest thing we have to that is maybe couchsurfing.com. Maybe. But so the needs are different here, but man, there's so much of a need for hospitality still today, isn't there? I mean, so much isolation, so much aloneness we face, and people who are hurting. Hospitality, there's huge need for it, but it's going to express itself differently. Hospitality has always been about how we treat other people, about meeting a need, right? So it's not the same as entertainment. We think hospitality, we sometimes think entertainment, having people over for a party, like I need to be more hospitable, open my house and let people in, have parties. That's not biblical hospitality. Here's the difference. Entertainment is about the host. It's about making an impression. Great party. That was a good time. That's what you want to hear. You want to be invited to their house for their party. It's about the host. Hospitality, biblical hospitality, it's not about the host. It's about the guest. What do they need? And how can I meet that need? It might be a place to sleep or a hot meal, or maybe it's just a listening ear. Somebody to be with them. That's hospitality. And I was talking to Matt and Tiffany earlier this week, and they said it's okay to talk about what they've been going through, because so many of us have been going through it with them. But Tiffany's going to need some of your hospitality when Matt goes back to work. You going back on Monday, Matt? Matt's going back to work on Monday. Remember, he works second shift? So I think we need to think about that. Evenings are going to be hard for her. Does that mean she needs somebody to move in with her and be with her all the time? No, it doesn't mean that. But couldn't it make a difference if a couple of us, once or twice a week, came over just to be with her? That's just a very specific need right now, over the next few weeks. It's how we can love deeply. So different way. Hospitality is one way we can love deeply. And it might be opening my home. It might be opening my life, opening my heart to care for somebody. It's not convenient. Remember, it's that stretch. It's costly. So it might be inconvenient. It might be a strain. Sometimes a strain on your budget. Sometimes it's a strain on your patience. But it might cost a few hours out of your week. But you're doing it because there's a need and you want to love deeply. So think about this question. How often do you have people in your home, apartment, or the space God's given you? Not for entertainment, but for hospitality. This is how we love deeply, a really big way we can love deeply. And we can't miss the last phrase in this, that verse, that without grumbling, right? You can't do it. If you're meeting someone's need but complaining about how much it costs or the inconvenience either behind their back or in front of them, like, that's not okay. That's not real hospitality when we're grumbling about it. And that just kind of, maybe this one is just for me, maybe this is for you, but it just made me realize, you know, if you're married or if you have roommates, you got other people in the house, you need to be considerate of them in how you open up your space. Like, you need to do this together. You can't just like, okay, I'm just going to invite all these people. Because in most marriages and in most roommate situations, one person is more sociable than the other. One person is more likely to say, yeah, come on in. So you have to work together to figure out which situations you're going to stretch and which ones you're going to pass on. We can't meet every single need. So it would not be loving my wife deeply. I tend to be the more social one. Maybe some of you knew that. But it would not be loving my wife deeply to just constantly invite tons of people all the time and then bring this verse and be like, yeah, without grumbling. No. Like, we have to do this together. I need to understand my wife, that she's not me and I'm not her, and we need to figure this out together. Otherwise, I'm pushing her into sin, possibly, by overwhelming. So I don't know. That's just a side thought that hit me as I was studying. So hospitality. We need to keep thinking about this. We need to keep practicing and moving forward and letting God use our space. So hospitality, joyfully. Use your gifts to serve each other selflessly. Another way we can love deeply. You and I have gifts. That's a really beautiful thing. We have different gifts. Where did our gifts come from? Is it all about, like, look at the gifts I've developed in my... No. Gifts are things that we've received from somewhere else. They came from God, right? I'm going to give you another brief Greek lesson. The word for gift is charisma. Charisma, right? And there's another word in the same verse. I think we're in verse 10 right now. The word grace is charis. Look at the overlap. Charis and charisma. This gift that I have has a lot to do with God's grace. God's grace is how I get these gifts. And you can see it in verse 10. Let me just show you. Each one should use whatever charisma he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's charis in its various forms. The gifts I have came from God's grace. And there's a variety in everybody that comes together. And they're meant to be used to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. Every gift I have is from God's grace. Everyone. That means I'm managing those gifts. I'm using them for the purposes he intended. And you know what? And maybe this doesn't happen here, but it happens other places. You know what we often do with our gifts instead of using them to serve others? We use them to serve ourselves. We use them to make money. I mean, think about it. Every gift, every talent, ability, it should be used in your job, right? But the primary purpose of your gifts, your charisma, is to serve others. That's the number one gift. Now, it's really sweet when it works together. Like if you have compassion gifts and you have a nursing background, you can be in a hospital and you can use that compassion and get a paycheck. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. In most situations, we try to double that up. But the primary purpose of my gifts is to serve others. That's what it's for. To help me love others deeply. Peter gives a couple of examples in verse 11. He talks about kind of two categories of gifts, speaking gifts, serving gifts. Said verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So if some of my gifts or my abilities have to do with speaking, make sure the words you say, it's like you're speaking the very words of God. And we are not just talking about me up here. We're not just talking about that. If you write music, the lyrics to your song represent God well. You're speaking to a child. You represent God to them. Making a presentation at work. You're a child of the king first, an employee of that company second. The things that you say, if your talents are being used for God to serve others, you're speaking the very words of God. You represent him here. It's a pretty big deal. If your gifts are serving, it's similar. He says, do it with the strength God provides. We got a lot of people with serving gifts here who prefer to be behind the scenes, providing a meal. There's so many meals that are being provided right now. Providing a meal, pray as you go. Lean on God's strength to love well in that act of service. Not just do it to get it done and get it over there and give them what you signed up for. But love well in that. Do it with the strength God provides. Maybe there'll be you'll write a little note to go with the meal. Maybe it'll come with a hug, but you're just looking for, maybe there's a special touch of something extra you just didn't have to do that you're going to do because you're loving well with the gift God gave you. I mean, every Sunday people come here early and serving on a setup team, moving furniture around and setting up all this stuff. I mean, we can do it just to get it done, or we can work with somebody, look for a way to encourage somebody or just kind of notice somebody. I don't get this right all the time. I've been doing this for 20 years. You kind of get grinded into emotion sometimes. Lean on God to give you an attitude that pleases him, whether it's serving with your hands or serving with your mouth. Because when you use your gifts this way, you're serving others, you're leaning on God for strength. The result is you bring praise to God. And people will be blessed. And I have to say, as we talk about using gifts, showing hospitality, you guys get an A+. This week, what I have seen has blown me away. A+ on loving deeply. Just, I think, was a reminder of how I can't do it all. Sometimes I think that way, I think, and that's something I need to overcome. I need to work out of myself, but I can't do it all. And you guys have rallied around a deep need happen, a deep hurt happen, and I saw the body of Christ rise up in a powerful way. Loving deeply, God is pleased. And he has been praised in that. And I want to just let you see the whole, as much of the picture as I can. I don't even have the whole picture, but so many of you are a piece of the puzzle in loving deeply. So I want to back up and let you see more of the picture that I got to see this week, just as deep love is expressed. And in my mind, it starts at the hospital. Last week, Sunday morning, Matt and Monica, Ann, John, Madeline, Bill, Tara, there, just there. Hours, just to offer support. Madeline made a card. It was a blessing. Other people are involved in that too. Because those people who are there, some of them had kids. So there's other people who are taking care of those kids so they could just be there and not have to watch the clock and worry about, I got to get out of here. People went over to Matt and Tiffany's house. They were in the hospital like 2 weeks. Like, we want to go over there and just kind of freshen things up a bit and do what we can. Then this email went out, right, to stock their fridge and their pantry. And, like, so many people, I was just shocked, just amazed at how fast that list filled up. Here's what we can do. Eggs, bread, meat. And so I just looked over that list and all these names that I saw. I'm just going to give you these first names. Aaron, Nate, not me, Nate B, Sarah K, Rebecca, Emily, Monica H, Bob, Katie, Rick, Amber, and just all these people just like, yeah, we can do this. You did it. Bunch of you have volunteered to bring the meals. They're coming over the next few weeks. They've already started. Monica G, Phyllis, Joyce, Ann, Sarah B, Aaron, Monica H, Tara. Just, yeah. Other people are giving gift cards, financial gifts, the gift of your presence, your friendship. Other people showing up at the hospital during times, just, and other things that I didn't see, people praying, people giving. This looks to me like living out Peter's above all, love each other deeply. Show hospitality, use your gifts to serve others. It's exactly what you're doing, even when you yourselves are suffering too. Because here's the reality, Matt and Tiffany aren't the only ones going through hard times, struggling, suffering. And a bunch of you who reached out to them in their needs still have needs and suffering of your own. This is a big deal. And I think for most of you, those of you who participated in that, the reality is when you love deeply like you did, you get a blessing too. You get a blessing too. You get blessed, they get blessed, God is praised. That's what we're talking about. This is good stuff. Sounds pretty worthwhile, right? I mean, this is how we want to be, not only in a time of crisis, but all the time. This is a whole lot better than those destructive ways we try to gratify ourselves when we struggle. So much better. This is a really important part of fully following Jesus together. Love each other deeply. There's one more benefit that I just need to mention, and this happened this week. When we do this well, and we love each other deeply, like you guys have been, something else happens. The first part of our mission, leading people to Jesus, happens. John 13:35, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. When we love each other deeply at full stretch, muscles taut, emotions spent, this is how other people who are not here know that what we have in Jesus is worth something. Talking to Matt and Tiffany, you know what the hospital staff saw in Tiffany's room? You know what they saw? They saw deep love coming from their church family, and they noticed. And they said something about it. Not just to Matt, but also to Monica. Monica was thanking this nurse for the excellent job that she was doing. And this nurse just broke down in tears. She said, what I'm doing is nothing compared to what you're doing. They saw God is praised. So above all, let's love each other deeply. We don't want to be in times like this all the time. We don't. But maybe this is just God nudging us, say, this is what it looks like. This is what you do. Radar up. Aware. How can your gifts help meet that need? How can what I've given to you, what I've graced you with, how can you bless somebody else? Because you'll be blessed too, and I'm going to be praised. God will be praised. So we're going to keep surrounding Matt and Tiffany and Aubrey in deep love. But it's going to go beyond that. We're going to keep finding more ways to deeply love the people God has brought to Cornerstone, each other. Sometimes we're not going to be a personality fit. You get these people together, you're going to have people like, I just don't see eye to eye with them. Like, there's going to be annoyances among each other, but we can still love deeply. There's going to be rubs. There's going to be disagreements. That stuff's going to happen. But we're going to keep loving deeply no matter what. Everybody gets loved here. That's the goal. That's the goal. And that goal is absolutely impossible by myself. So we have to do this together. And God is going to take this. If this is us, if this is what we want, if this is what we're going after, God's going to take that love. He's going to use it powerfully. He's going to use it to make this church stronger and healthier. He's going to use it to make you happier. Tell you what, quality of life goes way up when we know how loved we really are. And God's going to use that same deep love to bring more people to faith in Jesus. That's how he does it. That's what he said. When people see our love for each other, they're going to want some. They're going to want it. This is real. You guys have been real. So I just want to thank you for your part in being this passage. Let's pray. God, I thank you that your timing is so perfect. I didn't plan this. I couldn't have planned this. But for this passage to be what we're looking at, as your people lived it so well, God, thank you. Thank you for that encouragement that it was to me, and it is to others here too. God, we pray for Matt and Tiffany, for Aubrey, and the loss they've experienced. The waves, the cycles they're going to go through. They're going to feel great one day and just have a rough day the next. And I just pray that you will lift them up. Your love defends me. God, you are my strength, my foundation, and we can cling to you. But I pray that we would cling to each other too, and that we would just continue to be a blessing to each other. That our radar would be up to see the needs that are going on around us, and to stretch ourselves out to meet that need. God, take us deeper in this. We know that you want us to love, but I think you're teaching us a little more about what that looks like. So take us wherever you want us to go in this, God, and help us to bring you glory in the process. In Jesus' name, amen. The worship team comes up. We have another song that's really anchoring into the ability to do this through what we have from God. But just wanted you to take a minute for your next step. What's one specific way you're going to choose to love deeply this week? And if you don't think of one, ask God to reveal it to you. How can you love deeply this week? Who and how? God, how I need you. I need you. He's asking us to do something supernatural here.
But he's also shown that we can do this. We can do this. So let's rise to our feet and boldly approach the throne of God, where you get everything that we need.